Please join with me in the call to worship as printed in the bulletin. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Celebrate God in this sacred space.
Celebrate God in all places under heaven.
Give praise for God's mighty deeds.
Give praise for the gifts of life and light.
Praise God with trumpets, lute, and harp.
Praise God with tambourine and dance.
Praise God with loud clashing cymbals.
Let everything be light and earth praise God.
Thank you. Whenever you think that fear and gloom has been scattered, you may be seated. Friends, welcome to worship here at the First Congregational Church of the United Church of Christ. I welcome you this morning to a time of joy and singing. I welcome you to a time of prayer and transformation, a time for feasting, a time where we greet our risen God and then leave this room to transform the world. The sun is so trying to break through those clouds, and I so want to finally welcome spring, but I believe as I walked to church this morning, it was sleeting. But make no doubt about it, I know that spring is here, and here's how I know. The temperatures, they have been going up. If you look at the bushes outside, there are buds that are beginning to pop out. But there is something that happened this week that means spring is definitely here. It was not the sound of birds chirping, but the sound of a crack of a baseball being hit by a bat. Now, you need to know this. We are an open and affirming church. We welcome all people. Just how far do we go to welcome people? Let me tell you this. Whether you cheer from the beloved boys from Beantown, or whether your loyalties lie in the Bronx Bombers, know that you are welcome here. Whether you like your baseball stadiums all brand new and decked out in blue and white, or whether you like your ballparks old and quirky and clad in green, you are welcome here. Because here's the thing, no matter who you are a fan of, know this, God is a fan of you. And so welcome, welcome to worship. Some announcements for today. First of all, a huge thank you to everyone, and that means everyone in this room, for making Holy Week so meaningful and for making Easter so glorious. If I said something, would you know how to respond? If I said, Christ is risen, absolutely, hallelujah, and amen. A couple of extra thank yous today. Thank you, gentlemen, for gracing our worship with your singing. Thank you, Ron. And thank you, Ron, for gracing our music with your playing. Friends, if you happen to be new here, we do have pew cards out there. I would ask you to go ahead and fill them out. People who filled them out last week know that I will get in touch with you, and so please do so. We are shrinking the font and stretching the margins to make sure that all of our announcements actually fit on this golden rod sheet, but they are here, and they are here for you to take home with you. So pay attention to the announcements that are on here, and I would ask at this point, is there anyone in the congregation who has an announcement that they would like to make? Please, if you have one, come on up while Terry gives her, and let's get those done right now.
Time card, and it's mentioned here on your yellow sheet, is to
I have one more announcement before we continue in worship. You may be looking around and saying, where are all the children? I don't know if you know this, but last year on Easter, we had 40 kids in attendance with us, which was great. One thing you should know about worship as we move forward is on the first Sunday of the month, when we have communion, know that the kids are here, but they're actually going to start directly in Sunday school. They're going to start in Sunday school so that they can have a full lesson and then come out and join us for this great feast. So just because you don't see the kids in the room doesn't mean they're not here. So friends, it's time for worship. Let's get to it.
Today's New Testament reading comes from the book of Acts, chapter 5, verses 27 through 32. When they had brought them, they had them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teachings, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on the tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." May God add a blessing to this word.
Please be seated. Friends, will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. During the time of King James, there was a huge banner erected in the town square. It was put right in the middle of the square so that all people who went about their daily business couldn't help but see it. It was put in the middle of that town square so that people would read it and notice it and take hold of it. Now, just to be clear, we're not talking about the King James of Bible fame. We are talking about the self-proclaimed King James of Cleveland, James LeBron, of the Cleveland Cavaliers. You need to understand that in the middle of Cleveland, there is a big town square. And on the side of one of the buildings of that square, they hung a banner. This banner was 10 stories tall, about four times the size of this wall over here. And that banner was four times as wide as it was tall. You couldn't miss it. On it was a single picture. It pictured a superhuman-sized King James. His head thrown back in glory, his arms spread out wide. And on that huge banner, just below a gigantic Nike swoosh, were the words, "We are all witnesses." Now, that banner gets so many things wrong. But today, one of my big complaints about that banner is not only where it directs the witnessing, but it misses entirely what witnessing is all about. That banner invites the good people of Cleveland to witness to a spectacle, to sit on the comfort of their couch, or if they can afford it, to sit in the comfort of their padded stadium seat and watch LeBron perform. The only active engagement being sought by that billboard is some cheering, some adulation, and maybe some money spent on merchandise to help out LeBron and Nike. It's the kind of witnessing that at least kind of works when things are going well. But the problem is, that kind of witnessing, it's not really all that committed. It's not very deeply rooted. And so when times get tough, the witnesses tend to get going right out the door. Just like they did when King James announced he was leaving beautiful, snowy Cleveland and taking his gifts to South Beach. Sadly, it is also the kind of witnessing we saw from the disciples just over a week ago. If you were here for Holy Week, you remember the stories that we read. The stories on Maundy Thursday, where the disciples, the apostles, those who had witnessed Jesus' miracles for years, found themselves running for cover and slinking for the shadows in the face of the powers that be. Do you remember on Thursday when Jesus was arrested? All of them split. Peter, facing questions, as Luke says, simply from a slave girl around a campfire, stammers out denial after denial. And then on Good Friday, all of them, every single one of them, was hunkered down in closed doors in a room. Witnesses to Jesus' life, they could not bear to witness his death. Not out of grief, not out of sorrow. They couldn't bear to witness his death because they were afraid for their own skins. When the going got tough, they hunkered down, they came inside a room, and they shut all the doors. And my, how much has changed in just a short time. Just a short time after the resurrection, the disciples, if you listen to Josh, the disciples find themselves before the powers that be. They find themselves before the very kind of council that got Jesus condemned to death. They are no longer spectators, no longer cheering for someone on the front lines. The disciples find themselves on the front lines. They are dragged before the council by the police. And rather than slink away through the side door or bow down, all of them, if you heard Josh, all of them, every one of them, the story says, stands up and stands tall, and they witness. Because you see, that word witness, it really means, whenever you see that word in the Bible or hear it spoken of in this church, don't think spectator. Instead, think witness means to bear witness to stand up for, to live your life by the example of, to be drawn by the power of God so compellingly that you can't help but testify to the miracle of God's love. And here the disciples are doing it so beautifully. They become witnesses. They say to those powers that be, we have a different power that we need to listen to. Those disciples, if you heard it, they say, we may not have seen it with our own eyes, but we are here to witness to you how you took Jesus and how you spread his arms out wide. How you hung him on a tree. How you, as human authority, did the most that you can do. And then we are here to witness how God did what God does, give life. Make no mistake about it, those disciples knew exactly who they were witnessing in front of. But they felt compelled to witness to what they knew was the truth. And so with one voice, they proclaim their faith in who Jesus is and why it matters. Do you remember back to Palm Sunday that seems so long ago? Our passage says that after Jesus cleaned out the temple, right? If you remember, it says that the powers of that be started to plot how to kill him. Well, the very next verse after what Josh read, if he had kept going, he would have said this, that the people on the council started to plot to kill the disciples. And eventually, we know that they did. Each and every one of the disciples were martyred for their faith, and the disciples knew it. They knew it, and they gave that testimony anyway. That is what witnessing is, not cheering from your couch. Now, I have to admit that life has changed a lot for those of us who follow Christ 2,000 years later. The Christian church has gone from a tiny fraction. We have gone from a group that is oppressed. I give you, the church is still oppressed in parts of the world. But largely, the church has transformed into a powerful and wealthy group. And unfortunately, even sometimes the church has played the role of oppressor in history. And yet, even though things have changed, you and I are called to do exactly what those disciples did on that first day. Be witnesses, not the Nike kind of spectator witness, but the God kind, the engaged kind. I think there are ways today that powers ask us to keep quiet about our faith, to not share what we believe, to keep faith private and separate from our lives, to make it a Sunday kind of thing for those who choose to come to a place like this, to keep our faith hunkered down in this room behind those doors. To be honest and fair, not all those voices come from the outside. We sometimes whisper that to ourselves too. And yet, the opportunities for us to witness are all around us. In the news this past week, if you paid attention, the state of Connecticut, our neighbors to the south, reached a climax in their conversation on gun control. With the passage of some new laws, no one claims they're perfect, no one claims they're complete, but it is a start. And that was the place, friends, where I think Christian worship would have been great, and I will admit, I didn't show up. The first thing about witnessing in a conversation like that is to show up and to engage our voice in the process, not pontificating, not on top of a soapbox, but by entering into the conversation, mindful of what our faith witnesses to. Our faith, I think, witnesses to issues like care for the vulnerable, veneration for all life, that we are our brothers, and yes, we are our sisters' keepers too. To be a witness means to do what the disciples did, to raise our voices, even when powerful forces, well-funded lobbyists, or even our own self-doubt and fear whisper in our ear that we should just mind our own business and stay quiet. It means being people of faith, not just in the comfort of our pews, but to take our place out on the front lines today. It means that when we engage people, we do so, even our bitterest political adversaries, always and only in loving kindness and care, even when we have to disagree and stand up to them just like the disciples did. But more than all that, it means that we remember that when we witness, witnessing is not just about winning in a human sense or proving that we are right. Witnessing means that we are trying to prove that God is right. We remember, friends, don't we, just how Jesus won. We remember that he spread his arms out wide in love. We remember that he did not throw his head back on the cross in glory. His head was down. It was down, weighed by the love for all of us and his obedience to God. It has only been a week. Surely, even in our Easter joy, we remember that. Friends, everything we do in our lives is a chance to witness, to obey the call that God has placed on our lives, to love kindness, to show mercy, and to bear witness to the story of Christ's love, not just on those big issues like gun control, but in the hundreds of choices we make every day. Friends, do not forget the glory of last week. Do not forget the confidence that God has the last word over everything, even death. Because when you don't forget that, it makes us able to live as witnesses, as Easter people, witnessing to God's love, telling the great story of God's love, telling the story of how Jesus' love, arms wide open, throws our arms open for hugs too, in all that we say, and more importantly, in all that we do. Amen. of sorts. It is time to tell this story. And so I invite you all to gather around this table. You are all welcome at this table just as you are. No matter who you are, no matter where you are on life's journey, you are welcome at this table because this is the table of Christ. And Christ bids us all come. And so we remember the story of this table. This story does not belong to the church. It doesn't belong to people who wear fancy robes. It belongs to the people. This story was a story that someone told their friend. And that friend told their child. And that child told their nephew. And that nephew told their grandchild. And that grandchild told a friend who told a sister who told a daughter, all the way down until someone told it to you. This is your story. This is our story. And so this morning, I'm not going to tell this story. I'm going to ask you to tell this story, because I think you know this story. Don't worry, the words don't have to be perfect, because when we tell the story, there is no magic that we do here. We tell the story to remember. And so I'm going to ask you to break a rule. I'm going to ask you to shout something out. I'm going to ask you to talk, even here in the middle of communion. You up for that? Okay. So friends, how about this? How about you and I together remember the story of this table? We remember that on the night in which Jesus gave his life for us, he gathered his friends around the table with him. And what did he do? Before he broke it, what did he do? He took it, right? And he blessed it. And what else did he do? He gave thanks for it. And then in front of them, he broke it. And what did he say to them? This is my body, which has been given or broken for you. Do this. Well done. And then after supper, what did Jesus do? He took the cup and he lifted it up in front of them. And what did he do? He blessed that cup. He gave thanks for that cup. And what did he say? Exactly. I heard it through Smatty. In some versions, sometimes the story says, this is my blood, which has been poured out for you. In other versions, it says, this is the cup of the new covenant, which has been shed for what? For the forgiveness of sins. Take and do it. Well done. You have told the story that has been told to you that we will tell to anyone who will listen. Friends, before we eat this meal, let us bless this meal. So I ask you to raise a hand as a sign of the ancient Christian blessing to send all of your love through those fingers and onto these elements, and the extras will dribble off onto each of us. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, send your Spirit here among us. Send it into the fibers of this bread. Dive it down into the depths of this cup, that this meal that we are about to eat may contain your joy, your presence, your life. God, bless this meal and all of us who are about to eat it. And let all of us say, Amen. Now, friends, just in case you think that you are still somehow not welcome at this table, we remember the story of those apostles, the one who witnessed so beautiful today. We remember the story, though, of on the first night that the supper was served, how there among the table was one who would betray Jesus, one who would deny Jesus, and how each of those disciples would flee into the shadows. Jesus knew it, but he knew they needed strength, and so they fed him. So he fed them. And today, just as we need strength, let Jesus.
bread is gluten-free bread. This cup is fruit of the vine, but it is unfermented. Friends, this is the meal of God, and it is for the people of God, and that is you. So what do you say? Let's eat.
Thank you.
Friends, our time of worship here behind these doors and in this room is drawing to a close, that we might worship God anew with our lives out beyond this room. Before you go, a couple of invitations, as always. You are invited to come through these doors at the end of worship that we might share some food and fellowship with one another. And if you don't have anything to do today, a couple things I might put on your list. There is the Earth movie being shown, Carbon Rush, over at the Mahewi Theater this afternoon. And then, Jack, might there still be some tickets available? There is the Berkshire Festival Chorus, who are singing at 3 o'clock, a tribute to music of 1963. It is going to be fun and rollicking and joyous, and it is up at the Lenox High School. So if you've got nothing to do, now you do. Friends, let us rise and let us sing of the good news for today.
Thank you. their fault. Oh, that was beautiful. I love it. Oh, I love this communion.
Oh,
wow.
Thank you.
So
yes.
Nice.
Really a nice collection that I came across
yeah.
From this guy.
Good
and
stuff.
They're simple